I don't feel like we've been created to sit at home on the couch and just go, this is who I am. Go out and do something with that. That mm-hmm. is now becomes our responsibility to go out and find out who we are supposed to serve. And that could be the clients in our business. That could be our community. That could be the people within our family, within our church, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Whom do you serve? It's not just for us to sit back and go, these are my strengths.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Cindy Williams. She is the founder of Lead My Life, great alliteration. From a rusty old pressure washer found in a barn, launch Cindy's and her husband's career into a decades-long entrepreneurial journey, which I mean, I'm sure there's a great story there that everybody would love to hear. And it's one that's built on both grit and grace, which I love. Today, Cindy helps midlife women and legacy entrepreneurs build businesses that bless them back by rediscovering who they are, whom they serve, and why their work matters so that they can lead, speak, and scale with integrity and impact. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Kenny. I'm so excited for this conversation. Been thinking about it. So thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this too. So we had a great intro call. So I expect just the part two to build on top of that. But tell me, Cindy, today, what is on your mind?
Well, I have full disclosure. I just came off of a 3-day birthday weekend where we did nothing but sit on the beach.
Well, so happy birthday.
You're like my first real conversation in like 3 or 4 days. So this is so exciting. So what's on my mind? What's on my mind? What I've really been concentrating on really for the last month in April has been identity. In particular, our business identity. And that, who are we in the marketplace? Mm-hmm. And how much that question, when we're able to answer that question, it changes everything for us. And mm-hmm. so that's really what I love to dive into, business identity and who are we and that whole ball of wax.
There's a ton there. And I've been having some of those same conversations. You and I had a bit of that conversation about my coaching practice, but I've had some similar ones with other coaches. So that topic seems to be bubbling up in a lot of different areas. I don't know, maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something, but he usually is. It's just a question of whether or not I'm listening. Right. Tell me, anytime somebody, a smart person such as yourself tells me, I'm thinking about this, I'm noticing this, this is something worth saying, to me usually points out that that's not happening naturally for the majority of people. Because if it was, and it's like, well, we don't really need to talk about that. Everybody's already kind of like floating into the right thing anyways. So what are you seeing, or what's the current thinking, prevailing wisdom that makes thinking about and digging into business identity, leadership identity, those sorts of things that you mentioned, a necessary conversation in the marketplace today?
Right. I would say the number one word that comes to mind is clarity. There is such a lack of clarity. And I do a lot of going out. My strength zone is just connecting with people and having conversations. Mm-hmm. And so when I go out, when I go to a networking event, when I talk with people, we ask the question, which I really don't like this question, but we all ask it, what do you do? What do you do? What mm-hmm. do you do? Right. And so we're always leading with our what. And we're leading with a transaction instead of leading with transformation. And you take the mic. And every single time I see somebody take the mic and give their little 30-second spiel, I'll see them a week later and that spiel is something else. It's like the words change. And I talk to the women and I talk to business owners and they're like, I just sat in the car for 30 minutes before I came in trying to think of what I was going to say. And there's just no clarity on who they are. And they lead with just selling with their what's. And the thing is, we don't buy what's. Mm-hmm. We buy who you are first. We want to know who you are first. And I told this story mm-hmm. to my coaching group last week. It's like, if I had two dozens of eggs sitting in front of me. And I buy the dozen eggs that tell me the story of Betty the Hen. I do. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those? The eggs that gets the hen of the month. I want to know who you are. I want to know your story. I want to connect with you on a personal level before I buy what you have for me. And so that it's really been on my mind lately. And that's what I'm really working with my entrepreneurs that I work with is who are you first? And let's get that down.
Gotcha. I love that. And I've been at a bunch of networking events, and I will admit I've been guilty of you may have seen me at one event. Next week I'm trying out something new. Now, some of that I think just has to come down to at the very beginning. It's sort of like trying on outfits, right? You're kind of seeing which one fits right. And do I like, okay, well, it fits right, but do I like this color? And there's some early like discovery, but it is difficult. It isn't easy to get clarity on that particular issue. A coach friend of mine says a lot in his sessions, he talks about how difficult it is to try to read the label from inside the jar. Is one reason why when we're trying to figure out like, who are we? What are our ingredients and percentages? And like, well, it's hard to do that when you're inside the jar. So I'm curious, what obscures so much of the clarity? Why is this a difficult thing? Because you would think entrepreneurs, right? The people group you deal with and I deal with, these are self-starters. They are intuitive. They are go-getters. They are learners, typically lifelong learners. So they've got tons of information and they're okay with uncertainty. They're okay with the lack of clarity. Because if they weren't, they probably would have never started a business. Or if they'd had tremendous clarity and understood, hey, I got an 80% chance of totally falling flat on my face in the first 3 years. Why should I do this? So what is it then, especially for this group of these high achievers, high performers, these entrepreneurs, these risk takers, why is getting clarity around who they are and by extension, who their business is in the marketplace so difficult?
Yeah, I think number one, I think you just to hone in on, there's a difference between clarity and risk. So as an entrepreneur, you said we dive forward and we have uncertainty. So that's more risk, like our risk tolerance. But clarity is, I think why it's so difficult to achieve in our day and age is because of all the outside noise. Every day we're having social media and what we read and what we hear on the news, and everything is defining who we are supposed to be. And so instead of letting our insides dictate who we are, we're going, oh, I should be this way. And they need this. And it's all this external noise coming at us, all the shiny objects. I don't care what industry you're in, because we've been business owners in three different industries. So there's always shiny objects telling us who we should be, what we need to buy, what courses we need to take, all of it. And in order to focus, follow that one course until successful, we need to put the blinders on, really know what our strengths are and move forward in that strength so that we can be successful.
Why do you think, apart from you just might have a natural tendency to go after shiny objects, but what makes us think those courses, recommendations, the gurus, the books, the webinars, the conferences, so like all these different ideas and tactics and whatnot, what makes them so appealing? And does a lack of understanding who you are play into that and chasing that, hoping someone else maybe will tell you who you are? Or is it, or do you think it's something else?
Yeah, I think it's the external pressure. Oh, if I take that course, then I'm going to get clarity on how I need to move forward. If I take that, and I'm all about learning. I'm constantly learning and taking courses, but I have a very strong filter about where I want to direct my learning. What's going to move me forward? What is my goals right now? What are my milestones that I want to reach? This year, it's more about speaking and just being able to gain exposure. So everything that I'm learning this year is through that filter. Everything else that comes at me, I'm like, you know what? That's a good thing, but it's not the best thing for me right now. So having that clarity on really who I am, I know my strength style. I use the DISC assessment. I'm a DISC consultant. So that's one way that we can really hone in on what our strengths are. And then having, I call them milestones and not goals, because I think like a runner. I'm a runner. Goals, it's like once you hit a goal, it's like you kind of get depressed. You're like, okay, what's next? But when you're a runner, you hit that milestone, you celebrate, and then you're on to the next one. So it's continuous. But not follow, when you know who you are. I'm a D on the DISC scale. So I'm a driver, more dominant, more assertive, and an I person. So I love people. I'm a DI. I know that about myself. So now when I go out, I have that lens on. And it helps me know what opportunities to search for that are going to be within my strength zone.
Gotcha. So I'm glad you brought up goal/milestone in the context of what we're saying, because I was curious from your experience, conversations point of view, is it you need to know who you are, or do I need to know where I'm heading? Which plays a bigger role, or are those two somehow intertwined? I have my own opinions on this. So I'm trying not to, if we were in a court of law, I'm trying not to get objection leading the witness, but how do you orient those? Because I know tons of people who have goals, milestones, things that they want to reach, achieve on the way to something else. But they may not have clarity on who they are. And likewise, I know some people who feel very clear on who they are, but they're like a parked car. Like I don't know where you're going. So how do you distinguish between those two, and how do they mix and mingle with one another towards what you're seeing?
Well, first I just want to touch on our five core human needs. So first we have that layer of security of whom do I put my trust? Where do I put my trust? And that's foundational to everything that we do. Is like, we have to have trust in something. And my faith is in God. That's my very core foundation. And next comes that identity piece. It's like, once we have trust, once we feel comfortable in the relationships and the people that we have around us, then we can work on that identity piece. And that's the who you are. And what in next becomes belonging. Okay, where do I fit in? Where am I needed? And then comes that whole purpose piece. And then comes the, what do I need to learn? What am I competent in? What are my skills? So I think there's a real progression in that. So once we establish the trust, we know who you are. I always teach, go out and find whom you serve. Whom you serve. Who are your ideal clients? And I do a whole AI workup around that. And then comes the purpose piece, the why. Why does my work matter? Why am I doing this? And you really have to have that identity piece put into place first, I feel, in order to know where you're going. Like, I don't know what value I bring to the world in order to have a purpose until I figure that identity piece out. How am I going to sit down with somebody and go, what value can I bring to the table if I haven't done that work?
Gotcha. So you would, in the way that you work with people, it sounds like you help them understand that identity piece. And then from that place, we can look at milestones, goals, achievements, you know, whatever their preferred terminology is. But in some of that, it also sounds like you're saying sort of get out, get moving.
Yes.
Because it's through that activity, through those actions, that you will start to discover, like, who do you really serve? And then that's not just for, and I would suggest that's not just for entrepreneurs. You could be an employee in an organization.
Absolutely.
It could be a nonprofit. Like, a lot of times people think, oh, that's just a senior leadership team or an entrepreneur thing. It's like, no, like, you may be, feel like you're supposed to be serving people inside of your organization and equipping them and unleashing stuff in them.
Yeah.
So starting to figure those pieces out and just getting out and interacting. And so it sounds like you're coaching people on interact and then use those relationships, those conversations as data that you can then interpret and go, oh, because the market tells you what value you bring. You don't get to dictate that, right? Am I on the right track?
You are. And I love the go out piece. I love that you brought that up, because that's totally my jam. Right there. I just feel, you talked about the person who really feels like they have their identity figured out, but then they're sitting at home on the couch. Mm-hmm. It's I don't feel like we've been created to sit at home on the couch and just go, this is who I am. Go out and do something with that. That mm-hmm. is now becomes our responsibility to go out and find out who we are supposed to serve. And that could be the clients in our business. That could be our community. That could be the people within our family, within our church, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Whom do you serve? It's not just for us to sit back and go, these are my strengths.
Right. Now, I want you to talk to the leader that, and I've been this person, so I say this with zero judgment. Okay, maybe a little judgment, but mostly at me. You get a lot of high achievers. They're very results oriented, mm-hmm. right? It's there's an objective here. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet that objective. We're going to hit that target. We're going to hit that right. milestone and go to the next one. We're going to hit $100,000 in revenue, and then we're going to hit a million, then five, mm-hmm. then 10, mm-hmm. then whatever. Why do I need to know any of this stuff if I just really know how to, I know my product, I know my service, I know my target market that I'm selling to, right? Why do I really need to know who I am? And why do I need to understand the value beyond what pain I'm solving and people are willing to spend money to solve?
I love that. I would say, My tagline is building businesses that bless you back. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that we produce income just for income. We can, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. do you want to just live your life or do you want to live a fulfilling life? I call mm-hmm. my acronym for life is just living in full excitement. And mm-hmm. and that is not just producing income. I'm a D. I'm a driver. Mm-hmm. I'm that person who needs results. Like if right. I'm not getting results, if I'm not hitting my targets, it's really hard on me. Mm-hmm. But I've also recognized within myself that I need to take a week off at the end of each quarter to really renew. And I have to know how I don't want to naturally do that, but that's the only way I can recharge my batteries. That's the only mm-hmm. way that my husband and I, it's just helped our marriage incredibly and in the relationships that we have. And so it's not just about hitting targets. And when we have that D strong personality, which is task oriented and mm-hmm. people and action, it's task mm-hmm. and action forward. That's a D. Mm-hmm. We have to go, oh, you know what? How do I add relationships into that? How do I come full picture in my life and not just mm-hmm. producing income, but have fulfilling relationships, know how to have fun, know just the full yeah. picture. And it's important. And no matter if you're an S and you just crave that slow, steady, you're the employee for 30 years, you're the backbone of everything. You yeah. need to go out and have fun. You need to know how to set some boundaries. You need to know how to mm-hmm. be a little bit more assertive. And so it's full picture, no matter what personality style you are.
Gotcha. Yeah. So one, I would agree, like understanding more and more of those things as you and I have discussed, just because we're faith-centered individuals in the marketplace, mm-hmm. like that becomes a grounding factor. And that's not everybody. Other people have follow some spirituality or none at all. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there is a human element of just better understanding myself and those around me that I care about at a minimum, right? I maybe don't need to understand and care about everybody. But at least a smaller circle is there an age or a life milestone where thinking about legacy, thinking about a life that blesses you back and all those things, as opposed to just, I'm getting out, I want to perform, I want to be well compensated or recognized or rewarded. Is there almost like life cycle stages to mm-hmm. this identity discovery that you advocate for?
I would say for me, in 2018, I turned 50 years old. We had just mm-hmm. dropped our daughter off at college, right? And so for me, it was opening the front door of the house, walking in, and it's quiet, right? Mm-hmm. And then you realize, holy heck, I've got a lot less road in front of me than I do behind me. And you start yeah. thinking about life in a totally mm-hmm. different way. And that's when it really hit me. It's like, how do I not just produce income and results and all this? How do I make an impact? How do I don't want to just leave an impression like butt prints in the sand, right? That just wash away. I just don't want to sit here. I'm on the sidelines. I want to do something with my life, and I want it to matter. I think that hits at different times for different people, but I know for me it was when I turned 50 years old, and I was like, this needs to matter. What I do now needs to matter.
Gotcha. And well, then let's rewind, let's go earlier than when that happened. Cause you, like you said, and what I read in your bio, like you and your husband been entrepreneurs for a while now. You've been now you're in three different events. There we go. Yeah. From pressure washing to coaching, which nobody's like, oh yeah, I can see how you make that leap.
Yeah.
It's just natural. Everybody does that. But what is it like before then? Like, could someone have persuaded you that building a business that blesses you back was a worthwhile endeavor, or would it have taken some talking into, or did it really just take like that opening the front door and it's quiet milestone that those life events happen to all of us? It could be moving off to college. It could be a death in the family, marriage, new child, whatever you may have, those things change us. Outside of that, could you have been talked into it, being that you are such a high D? And I say this as someone who is, I'm like in the furthest, whatever quadrant. I'm not sure that I'm not allowed to even be like on the page. I'm somewhere out in the bleeds and I got cut off in the report D. So I say that as someone like that, if we're talking to those sort of people, like, could you have been talked into this way of thinking then, or did it have to be a major milestone event to really change you from the inside out? Because that's what it sounds like.
Right. I think I would not have understood that language when we were in our 20s, even when we were in our 30s. I don't think, and I chose that language very carefully, because we've been entrepreneurs now for over 3 decades, which sounds really makes me feel horribly old. But we did. In 1991, we found this pressure washer in the garage and we needed extra income. I was teaching, my husband was a helicopter instructor. And so we just started pressure washing in the evenings, car washes. We worked hard, really hard. And then that turned into this huge janitorial company that we sold in 2023. But the grind of entrepreneurship, of business ownership, of like, okay, we may go on vacations, but that phone is always on us. We would hike mountain peaks just to get to 12,000 foot level so we would have cell phone reception to talk to our clients and to find out the latest troubles. Our kids, they would know that if they wanted to talk to their friends, they had to climb a mountain peak to get there. Yeah. But it's knowing that grind, and I don't even know another word to describe it. If you've been in business ownership a long time, you know that when the business starts to own you and you don't own a business. And when you see that happening to you, COVID was a huge eye opener for a lot of people with that, because it was such a difficult time. Then you start understanding the language. How can I truly own a business? How can I get out of this and become a passive investor? How can this business bless me back so I can make for me, it's a kingdom impact. I want to impact the kingdom of God with our work. Just have that high intensity. But yeah, I think you may not start out like that in your 20s. Right. I think it has to be realized.
Yeah. It's what hard won wisdom.
Yeah.
This is going to be the podcast episode for the most amount of alliteration, which I love. It's fun. So within that, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. Like you're working, and I want to get into the grind part and help relate back this, even setting aside for a second the build something that blesses you back, but understanding the identity piece that you were mentioning at the beginning. It is a grind. And I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs about that, just because I'm like, I think I'm just too dumb to quit. It's a secret of my success. If anything, I jokingly call it being the buffalo, right? Because there's usually like three animal responses to a storm. They run for higher ground, get hit by the storm anyway. They just sit there and are like, whatever. They take it and the buffalo turns and faces the storm and runs right through.
Right.
Right. So the way out is through. So there is that grind in entrepreneurs, but there's a lot of people who are being knocked out by that grind that
yeah.
It's sometimes it's a sobering reality. For some, sadly, it ends in suicide, right?
Yeah.
Because their whole identity was based on the performance of the business,
right?
Which is tragic, and I want to help fight against that. How does identity play into our ability as an entrepreneur to make it through that grind? Because not every season of a business is a grind, but it especially is at the very beginning, just kind of like a rocket burns 80% of its fuel on takeoff. It takes something from you building a business. And if it pans out, then it feels like a righteous exhaustion, like a great workout. But
right.
Otherwise it can, in the middle of it, you're like, why in the hell am I doing this? What did I say I wanted to do this? How do we relate those back and create more resilient? How does identity create resilience in the face of the grind if we do believe we're supposed to be helping a certain group out there?
Right. I'm going to take that to kind of a story. When we launched our janitorial company, we had no idea what we're doing. It's like the work just came to us. We never advertised. We didn't do anything. It was just word of mouth. Mm. And it just kept growing and growing and growing until we had this business. So it felt very natural. It supported our family. It did everything. It was a beautiful business. What happened, and maybe people can relate to this as well, there was regulation change. In 2020, so we built our business on a subcontractor model, which is very common in the janitorial industry. And we had subcontractors that worked for us, and they had their insurance and everything. They had their own legitimate businesses. Well, in 2020, there was a law that came down, AB5, I think it was, where you now had to shift to an employee model. So on top of that, so we had to, all these people, beautiful couples who had worked for us for over 30 years, now had to be paid as an employee. On top of that, we had 2020 with this whole mix of cards. You throw the deck of cards up in the air and you wake up in the morning, it's all arranged all differently. And my husband and I, we were hiking one morning and he passed out. And I thought he had a heart attack. We were up on the side of a mountain. And it was just that level of grind that we were in, because it was such a mess. It was COVID. It was, now we had employees. We went through 175 employees that year with a 20 employee business. It was insane. So when I talk about grind, when I think about grind, I think of the last really 3 years of our company and what we had to do to identify who we were in that company. I had to identify my husband's strengths and styles, my strengths and styles, how we could come together to create systems now in a totally new industry, because now we had all these new regulations. And being able to do that and put the right people in the right seats and actually build a different kind of business that now moved us out of the company. And so I think in entrepreneurship, sometimes we just stay in that solopreneur mindset of you're basically own a job. You just bought yourself a job. You're not a W-2 anymore, but you're just doing the daily grind every day with no hopes of ever getting out. How do you put the right people in the right seats in your organization so that you now can get to the other side and go launch another business, go do your kingdom impact? And knowing our identities, knowing how my husband and I best work together really solved that piece of the puzzle for us, because then we were able to like go, okay, you take care of this. You take care of this. This is your role. This is my role. This is how we bring people on. This is how we hire. These are our values. It like all came together beautifully, but we had to really know who we were first.
Gotcha. And knowing that helped create sort of a roadmap out of that chaos, which in your case wasn't totally your choice, right? Legislation, know, those sort of things, they change on you. Like with John Maxwell's pessimist like curses the wind, and optimist says, oh, it'll change, and a leader adjusts the sails.
You figure it out.
Yeah. But you have to, but if like, where am I good? Where can I find energy and joy even in a tough time? Mm-hmm. And where do I need to partner? Whether that's, you know, in your case, it literally was your partner, mm-hmm. Business, life, and otherwise.
Yeah.
But how can we also find people, even if it's just temporarily, to complement our strengths to allow us to build out and through a mm-hmm. tough season?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think I had this conversation this morning at Panera, where all great conversations happen.
Yes.
I'm part of a very exclusive membership known as the SIP Club. I'd like to say it's by invitation only, but if you have $14.99 a month, you can be a part of it too. But I was talking to another frequent flyer at our local Panera, and one of the things I said to him, because he's building a sales team, and so we just started chatting, and I talked to him about self-awareness that, you know, like I think it was Columbia University did a huge study on like Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 CEOs mm-hmm. and showed self-awareness was one of the top predictors of success.
Yes.
And I'm curious, based on what I said, maybe what I told this gentleman was totally stupid and you're going to correct me. And then I'm going to go and tell him, hey, someone smarter than me told me this. You should go with what they said. Is if you get better at self-awareness, knowing yourself, knowing your strengths, like you're describing, it makes it easier and more likely that you'll be able to identify the strengths and giftings in others, especially as a leader. Do you find that to be true? Is that something you teach? And is there a method to like seeing that interplay between self-awareness and then maybe a discernment around others?
Yeah, that awareness is huge. Awareness is huge. That's an emotional intelligence. It gets into that whole topic. But when I teach my client journey starts with discovering who you are and intentionality. Mm-hmm. And then the next part of that journey is awareness, not mm-hmm. how we affect the world, how we, when we walk into a room, how do others perceive us? A lot of times we think of awareness just us, but what is mm-hmm. that awareness back to us? Have you ever thought about like when you walk into the room, how are the people perceiving you? And if I get nasty or irritated with people, yeah. it's like, how do I make them feel? And that's like next level awareness that we mm-hmm. all need to have as leaders. We always want to mm-hmm. leave the room with people feeling better than what we left it. But yeah, that whole awareness component is huge, not just of ourselves, but mm-hmm. of others as well. And I think the more self-discovery and personal development we do on ourselves, mm-hmm. the more we become aware of how we affect others and what other people are feeling, and are able to make better hires in our businesses, mm-hmm. are able to be better employers. I just read this weekend I was telling you about the expert ownership book. There was a statistic that when we hire, we're hiring people that we think we can trust, right? That we mm-hmm. go, I think I can trust you in this position. I trust that you're going to be a good person. 58% of employees do not trust their employers. I that took me back.
Wow.
Do they have my back? Do they speak well of me when I'm not in the room? What if mm-hmm. I fail? Am I going to get fired? They don't trust their employers. That is a huge awareness piece. How do my employees feel about me? Do they feel supported? Do they feel mm-hmm. safe to fail in my organization? Right. And then learn and learn from our mistakes. So yeah, awareness is a huge, huge piece.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just a matter of asking. There's a couple of really good questions that I learned over the years, and it's always terrifying that on some level for me to ask this. And more and more as I've gotten more secure in just who I am, and also feel like I don't show up like a jack wagon as often anymore, I feel a little more confident in asking the question. But one was, what's it like to be on the other side of me?
Yeah.
Which especially for those of us who, if you are a fan of DISC and you're in that high D category, mm-hmm. that's a that can be a scary proposition because you may get told that you are scary. It's like, look, every time we talk, you singe my eyebrows and I'm tired of looking like that and answering weird questions. The other that I want to give credit where credit's due. He probably stole it from someone else, but whatever, was Ian Morgan Cron on the Typology podcast. I'm a huge fan of the Enneagram as a tool for self-awareness. Oh, yeah, but he gave a question that I've incorporated and I even share with clients is, what do you know about me that I don't, but I should?
Oh, I like that.
Right? Because it's highlighting for them. I want you to pick out some you think I'm unaware of, but I would be better off if I did know it. I asked the employees of my first company, I asked them that right after I learned it. At that, man, I had to really sit with their answers.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there was a high degree of trust to where they were, as Kim Scott would say, radically candid with me.
Yeah.
And it was a real gift, but man, it was like surgery. And then those cuts hurt.
Yeah.
But I'm better off now for it. But anyways, I always tell people, I was like, look, ask these questions. I want to tell you this. It sounds real simple to say. Just brace yourself for the answers, because as soon as you put it out there, if you have some people who are really willing to share with you, you probably won't like what you hear.
Yeah.
At first, because man, it's every flaw you have. And when we're leaders and we're out front, we've got all these insecurities and we're trying to cover them up or compensate for them or something like that. But to what you're saying about really knowing who you are, pushes back against that insecurity, because you can be insecure who you are and then appreciate how someone else might be built differently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a form of emotional maturity and really bravery to be able to do that, because it's a courageous question, because you're going to have to be able to see yourself through somebody else's eyes. And yeah, we may not like it at first, but that's a nugget of truth, right? You have to go, okay, well, maybe not so much that, but yeah, I really need to work on that. I did have women tell me that they were intimidated by me at first. And I that would be the D coming out, because I'm pretty strong and I say what's on my mind. And so I had to learn to soften that and just to be aware of that and learn how to realize when I'm just being very dogmatic. And so I love that question. That's a very brave question to ask. I love that.
Brave or stupid, it's a fine line.
Yeah. You know, but what else goes along with that is I like to ask people that I'm in friendships with, or my husband, I'll ask him, or our kids from time to time. I ask them to, and I think I got this, is it Jack Sullivan from his book, Success Principles? Be able to say, hey, what do you rate our relationship? 1 to 10. What do you relate our relationship? And if they come back and say a 5, just say, well, how can we make it a 10? What could I do to make it a 10? And I've asked that of our kids. I've asked that of my husband. And it's been really eye-opening. And then again, you have to be brave enough to hear it and move forward. And that's all awareness.
Right. And then to do something with it, to actually take action, like we were talking about earlier, is you got to get out and you got to take action. That I've found taking action on feedback does so much to build trust. Even making the attempt.
Yes.
Seems meaningful when like you and I are saying, like, we're just so results oriented. I was like, well, I tried, it failed. And that, so you probably hate what I did. And they're like, no, like I saw that you made an effort to address this thing I told you. So now I will feel more comfortable telling you other maybe difficult things in the future. I'm like, oh, my wife has really helped me with that with our kids. Cause I'm reading all these leadership things and applying them all at work. And then apparently I empty my brain out before I deal with my family. And my wife has just helped me like slow down, calm down. Like your personality and your words weigh about 800 pounds to these kids and to me. And I know where you're coming from. Like, I'm an adult. I know you, I love you. I know what your heart is saying, but I was like, these are also kids. So like, you need to slow it down, because I found just like a good leadership is good parenting and good parenting is good leadership. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like that I say that. I say those people can, but don't email me, because I'll dismiss your email or I'll have my assistant send you something.
Yeah.
But doing that to really understand, oh, like that, what's it like to be on the other side of me piece.
Yeah.
And that's been, It has been really difficult. It has been really hard because there's sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, why do I have to change for everybody? Is anybody changing to meet my needs? And I get a little pity party. We can do that. Then my wife backhands me and says, stop that. You're being selfish. I'm like, yes, ma'am. You're right.
Yeah. Do you know your wife's this style?
I don't. I don't think she's done it. I know she's a 9 on the Enneagram.
Okay. Okay. I had my husband take the disc, and something that I love to do when I work with couples who are entrepreneurs together is take both of their disc profiles and put them within AI and be able to assign their roles, where they're best. Wow. And then be able to create conversations where they're struggling, being able to create conversation starters between the two of them. It's helped us tremendously because my husband's an S. So I'm super fast and he is slow to make decisions. We've been married 34 years, so it's worked, but that has helped tremendously as knowing how to communicate best with each other.
If I had to guess, I would guess my wife would fall into that same category. Jokingly, because we're coming up on 16 years of marriage, so hopefully we'll make it to that 35
you
number.
You will.
But just a couple of years ago, I had us take the Enneagram group that I got accredited through. Also has a couples version that they released, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I read through it, and I was like, oh my gosh. If we had this about 3 years into our marriage, I was like, there's like years of pain and frustration because it was like, here's how you communicate. And here are some things in like parenting and intimacy and all these other things. Yeah. I was like, dang, that nailed helps. Us because I refer to us as an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object.
Yeah.
And which is, I think is panned out, but we've definitely had to learn and give grace and grow ourselves and everything. So, Cindy, there's probably like 37 more topics that we could get into. Maybe we'll have like a entrepreneurship and marriage episode as well, because I'm sure that's a lot of fun. But if someone's listening and they're like, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. Like I do want to know myself better. Seems like that's a big domino I could push over. Mm-hmm. That would unlock a lot of next steps for me. What is that first step, that baby step that someone listening says, I want to move forward with this, but what could I do in the next 24 hours with spending little to no money to start to have greater self-awareness and just more clarity, like you were saying, around my identity?
I think the number one thing that you can do is identify, after you get off this call, identify one person, I would say 3 to 5, that is doing what you want to do at a higher, faster, stronger level than you. Mm-hmm. And call them up right now, text them, email them, whatever it takes, and take them out to coffee. Just have a conversation with them. Does having conversations with people who are where you want to be is life changing. So that's it's go out. Stop thinking about it. Just go out, take the action, and do it with somebody else in connection.
Gotcha. Because through what transformations, changes, evolutions they've made within themselves can start to highlight a potential path for you to follow and go,
absolutely.
Oh yeah, that was me. Like, you know, they're like 30 years ago, I was doing this, I was thinking this, I was finding this. You're like, that's me.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can start to echolocate where you are in a big picture amongst those fellow travelers on the journey. I love that. Cindy, if people want to know more about you and your work and your thoughts and or the disc, where do you send them? How should they connect with you?
I think the best, easiest place to go is just to leadmylife.com. If you want to connect with me on a call, just schedule a call and we'll talk, or you can find out more about DISC on there, more about my personal journey. There's things about my membership, all of that on leadmylife.com.
Gotcha. And I also want to commend you for getting that URL, because that would probably have to spend like $30,000 to buy it today.
Oh,
it's clear. It's simple. Cause I've looked at some extra ones for myself and I'm like, I am not paying that amount of money for this domain. Crazy. I was like, I guess I need to think of a different name. So, all right. And we'll have a link to that, your LinkedIn, your email, your YouTube, all in the show notes. So if people want to consume more of your content and find those things out, but obviously go to the website, reach out to Cindy. She is a serve first type of individual. So I know she'll either have the answer or point you in the right direction. Yeah. So thank you so much. I look forward to having you back in the future and just having more conversations with you, because we've only had two calls, but I'm already learning a ton and you got my head spinning. So I think I need to go wander out and go for a hike and figure some things out. But thank you, listeners, for spending a part of your day with me and with Cindy. And we hope not only did you learn some, but maybe you were also mildly entertained, because we don't want to be boring. But if you got value from this episode, like, rate, review on whatever platform, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, leave me some feedback. I want to know how I'm doing, how the show's doing, and how it could add more value to you. Are there people, are there topics, are there subjects, are there conversations that would help unlock your next step in leadership? Those are the things I want to do. I enjoy this. I'm meeting neat people like Cindy all the time, but I need to know who do we need to bring in, because the show is for you. So let me know those things in the comments or notes, or shoot me an email, kenny@kennylang.com. And I'm happy to field those, respond and figure it out with you. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.